Hi, this is The Greatest Story Ever Played. My name's Dan.
I'm Jordan.
And we're here to talk about Pokemon Gold and Silver.
Super throwback.
Yeah.
Like 30, no, not 30, 25 years ago, probably?
Yeah, I think you're right. Because I think it came out like 99, 2000 area.
Okay, yeah, so.
Somewhere.
Yeah, 24, 25?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, so probably one of the older games.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We've hit up.
Yep, and we've done Red and Blue, so even older. But
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so starting out as a rookie trainer, you'll explore the sprawling region of Johto and embark on a quest to capture as many Pokemon as you possibly can. Dozens of Pokemon join the action, including legendary Pokemon Trio, Raikou, Entei, and Suicune. These Pokemon all introduced new Pokemon types as well. Look out for Steel-type and Dark-type Pokemon throughout your travels.
Nice. Then, this is developed by Game Freak, of course, who has developed all of the mainline Pokemon games, and this one, I guess, is Gen 2.
Yeah.
For kind of reference of where it falls. Which there is it 9 gens now?
Dude, I don't even know.
I think it's something like that.
Let's see. Red, Blue, Gold, Silver, Crystal, Ruby, Emerald, Sapphire. Oh, fuck. Black and...
No. Diamond and Pearl.
Diamond and Pearl is 4.
And then they did Black and White.
Is 5.
X and Y.
6. I think we're
Sword and Shield.
Skipping.
I think we are skipping one in the middle.
We're skipping one. I don't know if. Oh, then there was like. I don't know if Omega Ruby and Sapphire counts as. In Pokemon Sun and Moon. I don't know if those are separate generations, but if they are, I'd say that's 7. Yeah, Sword and Shield.
And then. Violet and Scarlet.
Yeah, so that's 9.
Okay. Yeah, so quite a few.
Yeah, that's a ton.
Yeah, that's a lot. So, like we do for these, before we kind of dive into, like, the recap and all of that, we did want to do kind of a non-spoiler section. Some initial impressions on the game or different thoughts. My one has less to do with the game specifically, but when I started playing this, I remembered kind of the Nintendo Power Guides from when we were kids.
Oh, yeah.
I know I used one a lot for Red and Blue, and so I was like, oh, I wonder if they did one for Gold and Silver, because I hadn't actually played this before. And I found one. I found a PDF online of it. And, oh man, the nostalgia was, like, so high looking at it. Because, you know, like, I looked at it for things like, I don't know, going through the cave. I didn't necessarily want to walk through all of the things. So, all right, I'm going to walk to the items that are actually worth doing or where the battles were or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, total nostalgia just going through it. I probably used the guide whenever I needed it or just when there were things where I was like, all right, what do they want? What's kind of the move? But it was really fun and like a total throwback. I looked, they're like a collector's item now because I would have maybe bought one, but then I saw they were really expensive.
I'm sure, yeah.
I was glad someone put a PDF online. Thanks, person.
Yeah, that dude, those were so fun. I remember, yeah, being like in, I don't know, probably like 3rd grade when this came out.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 4th, I don't remember. And yeah, there was a couple kids in my school that had them and they were just the coolest kids at recess because they had that game guides. Everyone would want to look at it because the internet wasn't a thing then. So you couldn't just like Google, where's this Pokemon at? And you know, whatever, what level does this Pokemon evolve at? So it was nuts being able to like look at that book because it's basically everything you want in just like a magazine kind of.
Yeah, I feel like a walkthrough put into, like, the coolest format.
Yeah.
Like, the screenshots in it were really cool, and, like, where it would show you the whole map zoomed out versus, like, when you're playing on your Game Boy, you know, you have your one little square of what you can see, and you're like, oh, okay, I just got to keep going up there because I'll get to this. There's a tree I can cut to sneak around back or, you know, whatever.
sneak around the back.
You know, whatever. Yeah. It was cool. Yeah, what a cool thing. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember getting them from, like, the library and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's smart. A little hustle.
Yeah, to be able to look at it.
I just remember going to, like, I don't know, Target or something or Kroger, and they had, like, the magazine stands, and they had them on there.
Mm.
So you could look at them. Or, like, at Toys R Us, they'd have them there, too.
Oh, yeah.
I would just go and look at them for, like, 5 or 10 minutes. It's fun.
That's great, yeah.
The good old days.
Mm-hmm. So good nostalgia there,
Sure. That's awesome. One thought I have is, so we did Red and Blue a while back, and I don't know, I feel like I go back and forth on which is my favorite, if it's red/blue or gold/silver. I think after like thinking about this game, I think gold's probably my favorite, or maybe crystal-y, I'm not sure. This generation, I think, is my favorite, like, Pokemon generation. I think I have more nostalgia with the first one, just because it was the first Pokemon game I played and it was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this one is my favorite, just pure Pokemon game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I, that really fits. I agree. This was so, I said it earlier, but this was my first time playing this game. When we'd done Red and Blue, I had played that as a kid. But then I hadn't played any Pokemon again until, a couple years ago on the podcast when we did Sword and Shield.
You skipped, skipped a few gens.
Yeah, I skipped most of them.
Yeah.
At that point in time. But yeah, I've seen that Gold and Silver is kind of highly regarded among any of them of like, this is the best Pokemon game, or like, it seems like the one that people look back to a lot,
mm-hmm.
whether like you or I, where we played Red and Blue first, or if maybe they were a couple years younger than us and Gold and Silver was their entry point and mm-hmm. they're like, no, this is the one. But
yeah.
I went and looked online and just kind of had like all the Metacritic ratings or whatever for all the games, and Gold and Silver was the highest rated for any of them too. So it seems like critics looked back on it, or in the moment did, favorably, but it seems like a lot of people talk that way. And mm-hmm. I feel like it fits that hype, you know, because for me, when I played, right, I just played it a few weeks ago and mm-hmm. came in with kind of the knowledge of everyone says this is their favorite and all of that. So I'm like, all right, let's see. And it was great. It was an awesome time. This is a great game. If you haven't played it somehow, like, go play it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. If you like Pokemon and haven't played this, you need to.
Yeah.
It's dated, but it's not as dated as Red and Blue, so it's good. It's got color in it, at least.
yeah, still worth it. I think that sometimes dated games can feel dated in a mm-hmm. way where it makes you not want to play them. I don't think this has that problem. Like, and Red and Blue, for that matter. Like, I think both of them, picking them up now, they're different than games now, but mm-hmm. They're still really enjoyable, and I think that the art style and all that stuff with what it is, you know, compared to now, it's fine. Like mm-hmm. those limitations aren't bothersome mm-hmm. to me, at least. I think it's totally great.
Yeah. Same. I mean, I think that'd be hard if you're like, I don't know, 18 years old and the only Pokemon games you played are like on the 3DS and later. It might be kind of hard to go to like a Game Boy Color game because
yeah.
I never really played those before, but I think it's worth trying. Yeah, for sure.
Totally.
Yeah. One random thing. It's not really a non-spoiler thought either, but when I was probably like 7, I knew this game was coming out and I couldn't wait. So I went on eBay and got like a Japanese bootleg version of it.
Oh, wow.
And it worked, but it was all in Japanese, so I couldn't read it. And I made it all the way to like, I think the second or third gym without knowing anything what I was reading or doing.
Wow.
So yeah, I just randomly got lucky. And I'm not going to say anything else because it'll be spoilery, but yeah, eventually I got to a spot where I was like, I don't know what you're asking me to do, so I just gave up.
That's wild. I guess that the games do a good job of, like, there's kind of a path, usually. Like, mm-hmm. there are points, like you said, where Pokemon games, and this one specifically, where it can kind of get there, but in the beginning you're kind of like, alright, I can only go backwards or forward, and mm-hmm. I haven't been forward, so I go this way.
Yeah, eventually I hit an obstacle that you needed an item to overcome, and I didn't know anything about it.
No, right.
can't read Japanese, so.
No, yeah, that's wild.
Yes, but it was funny. I remember I was playing it under, like, at night with my, do you ever have one of those worm lights you plug into your,
oh, where you put it over your Game Boy?
Yeah, or like, you plug it in, like, the link cable thing.
Oh, I had a light thing that had, like, the,
they have a magnifying glass? Yeah.
I was like, why was there a magnifying glass?
Because it made the screen bigger. It was HD, big screen.
Yeah, I guess it's just weird because it's, I mean, I guess you didn't have to hold it so close to your face. Was that why?
I don't know. Yeah, looking back, it's like, what was the point?
Yeah.
And the screen used to be tiny.
Yeah, I mean, it's small. Yeah. But it's just funny because the magnifying glass, like, I guess I don't have it anymore, so I can't, like, look and see. But
yeah.
It feels kind of funny thinking about it now, though. Mm-hmm. But yeah, because I remember having the magnifying glass over it and the light on it.
Uh-huh.
And, like, being in the car. Like, driving home from grandma's or something like that.
Oh, yeah, dude. Just ripping just the Game Boy.
Pokemon.
Yeah, ripping it.
All night.
Yeah. Yeah, I just remember playing with, like, the worm light. It's, like, a different kind of light.
Okay.
And my mom would, she'd come in and pretend to be asleep. And I keep playing. She probably knew I was playing Pokemon, but looking back, like, I was not sneaky.
Yeah, right.
I see the light underneath the door.
Right.
But, yeah.
That's great.
Not a spoiler, or not a thought, but it's just a thing, an experience.
Yeah, no, totally. I guess sort of last thing for this one is this is the fifth Pokemon game that we've covered on the show. I know we mentioned that the first one we did was Red and Blue, and then I got back in. We did Sword and Shield, and then in the last couple years, we did Arceus and then Violet and Scarlet when those came out.
All the new ones.
Yeah.
So and the oldest one.
Yeah, and then the two oldest ones. So we've gotten in there, and I guess that means we'll probably end up just doing the rest as time goes.
We should do Emerald next.
Really?
Emerald is top three.
Okay.
Or top four, maybe.
Emerald. What's the...
It's the next gen. It's Ruby, Sapphire, and Emerald.
Ruby, Sapphire.
So it's like the... Okay. It came out after Ruby and Sapphire.
Oh, it's and the third one.
It's like the third, like, same... Yeah.
Like Hollow Crystal's the third.
Yeah, like a okay. twist on the campaign. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. No, maybe that's the next one we'll have to put on deck then.
Yeah, it's great.
No, that'd be cool. I guess also, I'm glad that we've gotten into this. I was thinking about this when I was thinking about this game because of the podcast. Like, I don't think I would have picked Pokemon up again if we didn't do this.
Mm-hmm.
But because I knew you liked it and Sword and Shield come out and you'd liked it, I was like, all right, maybe we should check this out.
Yeah.
And clearly, it's worked. We've played many more.
six now, right? Or fifth.
Yeah, so we've played more. And I think for me especially, like, I'm excited for Pokemon as it comes, but I'm particularly excited about Arceus as, like, the Legends.
Yeah.
The Pokemon Legends as they do. Because I thought Arceus was really cool.
Me too.
And so, like, I feel like that will be an even easier when Pokemon Legends, whatever, comes out in the future. Like, oh, that's going to be such an easy day one.
Oh, yeah. That was one of my favorite Pokemon games, Arceus.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I thought that was kind of cool, though. I was like, I'm glad we do this, because this got me into a series that I would have left behind and been like, oh, that was cool when I was a kid, and just kind of forgotten about. So, mm-hmm. Glad we're here.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so that covers our kind of non-spoiler thoughts. We'll move into the recap itself and, spoilers from here for this game. I will say, just like any Pokemon game, they do kind of have a rhythm and stuff like that. Uh-huh. There are certain things that can feel spoiled, but I don't know. If you've played one Pokemon game, you understand a general rhythm for how they go.
Yep.
So, I don't know. Just want to throw that out there.
Yep. Yeah, this one is the 8 gym leaders, Elite Four.
Yeah, you're kind of
post-game
standard
game content. So. Yeah, yep. This one's got a lot more post-game content, though, so we'll talk about.
Yes. So, game begins, and you're in New Barktown, and you go see Professor Elm, who gives you a starter Pokemon. Your options are Chikorita, who's the grass type, Cyndaquil, who's the fire type, and then Toadile, who is the water type.
Mm-hmm.
Before talking about who we chose and stuff, what I really liked about starting this is it felt like the most, like, your home again situation playing these. This is a new game, but you have that same familiarity of Pokemon Red and Blue just starting it up. Like, to me, never having played this, hopping in, I'm like, oh, a professor named after a tree. Cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a Pokemon. It's going to be one of these three types. I'm going to have a rival. It all felt familiar. I feel like other things can make you feel this way, but I thought this a lot specifically when I'd, like, read the Harry Potter books for the first time. Because each one, you know, you go back to Hogwarts for the start of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's fall, and then there's Christmas, and then there's, you know, all the things. But it always follows sort of a rhythm of you're like, okay, cool, I'm here. It's new, but it's old, you know? And I thought this really did that in a way that you're like, all right, cool, I'm in.
Yep. Yeah, that's fair. I don't remember my first time playing it. I don't remember how it felt exactly about it, but it was crazy. Yeah, seeing things in color was like the wildest thing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like, oh, that Pikachu's yellow. What the hell? Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. But I think this does bring us to kind of an important question of who did you pick as your starter? Because, I don't know, that has a big impact on how you begin your game. So who was your starter?
I went with Cyndaquil. I generally go with fire.
Okay.
I picked all of them. Various playthroughs.
Mm.
Cyndaquil is still my favorite. I like Cyndaquil, then Totodile, then Chikorita is my least favorite.
Okay.
Grass thing.
Yeah, yeah. Nice.
Who'd you go with?
I went with Totodile.
I'm surprised you didn't go with the grass one.
Yeah, I know I was a Bulbasaur.
A Bulbasaur main?
Yeah, in Red and Blue.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and which one was it that you could pick Cyndaquil? Was that in Sword and Shield? Because I feel like RCS. It was RCS?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it was like a different like version of Cyndaquil.
Okay, because I thought I remembered in a different one you'd pick Cyndaquil. Because when the options came, I was like, oh, I know you.
Yep.
Because my Pokemon knowledge, as knowing, is I played kind of the weird ends and beginning and ends. And so there'll be Pokemon who I'm like familiar with. And it's like, it's new to me, but it's been around forever.
Yeah,
like,
oh, this is what generation you came from.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was like, oh, I know Jordan likes those Pokemon.
Yep. Yeah, I like, honestly, I like the version in Arceus better.
Oh, okay.
It's like a fire ghost type, I think, if I remember correctly. And this one's just fire.
Just fire.
Yeah, which isn't, I mean, it's fine. It's good. Good Pokemon, but.
No. Yeah, that makes sense. I think I just liked him being a water crocodile, and so that was my move. I think he was in a game in the future, too. Was he in Arceus also?
I don't remember.
I don't know.
What?
How? No, I chose a different water crocodile.
What were the?
I forget its name.
I really can't remember. Oh, you might have. Did you pick the fire one in Violet and?
Oh, that's what it was. In Violet and Scarlet, I chose the fire.
Fire croc.
Fire croc. That's right.
Yeah.
I forget that one's name.
Me too.
But, okay. No. Yeah, Totodile felt familiar, though. Even though I hadn't played this, but
he's probably in Sword and Shield,
something
Arceus,
else.
Violet, Scarlet.
Yeah,
maybe not Arceus, but
one of those.
Yeah, definitely the other ones.
Yeah, so that was my starter. We had a couple people write in. Nikki on Twitter said, "I've never played Gold and Silver back then, but I did play Soul Silver, which is like the reboot."
Yeah, fun. Those are great.
And said, at that point, I was already a fire starter girly, TM, but I do vibe with Totodile a lot. I mean, look at that little croc.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think in the same camp as us.
Yeah, Totodile is sweet. Yeah, I played Heart Gold. It was like the gold version of Soul Silver or whatever. Mm-hmm. They were a lot of fun on the DS.
Right. Yeah, upgraded. Because they also will remake the games down the line.
Yeah.
Because I know, like...
Red and Blue got the...
Let's Go Pokemon, Eevee.
And no, Pikachu. It got Fire Red and Leaf Green on for Game Boy Advance.
Oh, yeah.
And then also, I guess...
And Yellow, kind of.
Well, yeah, I guess so, but...
That one's been the most, I guess. Yeah. Well, I guess Yellow is sort of like 1.5.
Yeah, Yellow is like the Emerald and the Crystal and...
Yeah. The third one.
The third one they always release every
year.
Except this year.
But then, because there's like the Diamond and Pearl remake that happened a few years ago. That's the, like, actual remake, like the Heart Gold, Soul Silver kind of thing.
Yeah, where... yeah, and they did the Omega Ruby and...
Sapphire.
Yeah, Alpha Sapphire. Yeah, whatever.
But...
The remake.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, those games are really fun. The pre-order bonus on Twitter said, "I usually pick the grass starter, but Totodile is my favorite starter from Gen 2. It's another water croc.
Nice. And then Mike on Twitter said, "I always go fire type."
I'm similar.
Like you?
Yep. And Cavs on Twitter said Typhlosion. So he's the evolved form of Cyndaquil. The most evolved form.
Nice. So it seems like a lot of fire and Totodile water, which makes sense. I feel like I wish I could remember offhand how it's been for like each one as we've talked to this.
That's probably but
I feel like
accurate.
Fire water tend to be higher and grass is least.
I just feel like grass is least... Long term in the game, grass is least useful because once you get to like the Elite Four and stuff, I mean, if you have a water Pokemon, anything that's
fire,
I mean, ground, rock,
it's helpful.
Yeah, so grass is fine, but I feel like water's just more useful.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Cool. So. We got our starters, and then we have a rival, rather than being, like, Gary or whatever. Instead, he's, like, this kind of, like, weird terrorist, basically, who, for some reason, chooses you as his child rival.
Some 10-year-old terrorist.
Yeah, it's a little strange. But he steals the Pokemon that you're weak against from Professor Elm. Like, after you pick yours, he's like, "Hey, go explore, go do this." And then this, like, random jerk.
This red-haired menace.
Yeah, shows up, steals the Pokemon, and just battles you all the time. And is like, "I'm your rival." And you're like, "Well, I was just, like, looking forward to, you know, becoming a Pokemon trainer."
What'd you name your rival? Poophead?
I wish I didn't do this as the game went on, but I named them Ash and Gary just because that's what I did last time.
Yeah.
But I wish, retrospectively, that I would just name them Gold and Silver.
Or Dan for your character and Jordan for your rival.
Yeah, or that.
I'll do that sometimes. I'll name things you randomly. Or name you things.
That's funny.
Sometimes.
That's hilarious. Kinda,
yeah, just a quirk.
I feel like for Pokemon, I would have to name my character you, though, because you would win in Pokemon versus me. And then I would have to name the rival Dan, and that would get weird.
Yeah, you'd be living a weird...
I cosplay as Jordan when I play Pokemon.
Yeah.
And my rival's me, because I hate me.
I fuck that guy up all the time. Dude sucks at Pokemon battling.
That'd be funny.
yeah, rival's like just an angsty 10-year-old, I think, that committed a serious crime.
Yeah.
Stole a living creature from someone else.
Yeah, it's weird. I felt like it was a kind of weird rivalry to walk into. Mm-hmm. I read a bit of lore about him after I played on the Pokemon Wikipedia, Bulbapedia or something like that. And there was just all this lore of how he shows up in other things and all this stuff. I was like, this is wild.
Do people say he's Giovanni's son?
Maybe.
Yeah, because there's a...
I think it was something like that. And... yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, there's a a fan Pokemon game called Rocket Red Edition where you play as Team Rocket guy. It's super fun. It's but he ends up being in that game and he's the son of Giovanni.
Okay.
So, yeah. It's all that game's based on fan theory and
that's fun.
Stuff. It's a lot of fun though. It's a great game.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. No. Yeah. That's a good sidebar. So set the stage up, and like we mentioned earlier, you basically go through your trek of catching Pokemon and going to different cities and beating their gym leader. So first city you go to is Violet City. It's led by a guy named Faulkner, who has Flying-type Pokemon.
He's the worst.
Yeah. I feel like it was all right, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing that stand out for me.
Yeah, I mean... same. Yeah, you're just a guy with two flying Pokemon or three or something?
Yeah. I think that the first couple gym leaders, I leveled myself up well enough that none of them were that hard.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't make a huge impression.
Fair.
Then from here, you kind of move on after that gym. You go to Azalea Town. Here you get Team Rocket for the first time because they're back.
Yep.
So they disbanded after Red and Blue. Which was also cool to know that, the timeline kind of existed further. I didn't know that would happen.
Yep. It's some years later.
Yeah, it was a few years later or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Team Rocket had disbanded after Red and Blue had happened, but they were kind of, trying to come back. And so they were at this Slowpoke well where they were, making Slowpokes do something.
They're cutting out their tails and selling them.
Yeah, that's
which
right.
Which is a weird thing, but...
yeah. Weird thing.
Yeah.
So you battle Team Rocket to kind of chase them out of town. Mm-hmm. And then after that, you're able to battle the gym because when Team Rocket had kind of taken over the town, the gym had closed and everything.
Was they were blocking the gym, I think. Or
yeah, everything was sort of shut down where people were I don't know, seemed afraid to be outside because Team Rocket.
It's funny
because
the gym leader's why don't you just go out there and beat them all?
Yeah.
Probably better than they are.
Right.
It's kind of goofy.
Yeah, I thought that was funny. So you beat the gym leader. Their name is Bugsy, and they, of course, have bug Pokemon.
Yep. Yep, bug Pokemon. If you have the fire starter, it's just really easy.
Yeah, you're all good there.
Mm-hmm.
From here, you get to Goldenrod City, and this is actually quite a bit bigger. Place.
This is the biggest city.
Yeah, the biggest one. Here they've got the radio tower, there's a bike shop, game corner, so where you could do slots and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Bill's house is here because he's moved from the first game to here.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the national park nearby. There's a lot of stuff to do here if you want.
Yeah, this is a cool town. There's the underground shopping plaza thingy too, and I think that is there a train in the town too?
There is.
Couldn't remember.
Yeah, the train station's here too. So there's a lot.
It's
here.
This the New York City of Johto region.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's pretty cool. And also in the underground part, there's a part where part of the town's blocked off, You go underground and you like battle a bunch of people on the way there.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty cool. It was like people were like, "Oh, you don't want to go down there. People with tough Pokemon in there." And you're like, "Not till I go down."
Yeah, and you're like, "Easy. I have two badges."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was cool. This gym's led by Whitney, who has normal type Pokemon, and is surprisingly hard. Right?
I thought this was one of the harder gyms in the game, honestly. Yeah, she's got, I forget which Pokemon. Oh, Milk Tank is like the Pokemon she has.
Yeah,
just can take a lot of damage and like dishes out a lot of damage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think this is probably the hardest gym battle.
Yeah, I think this was one of the harder ones for me too. I think I knew I had to grind a little bit to be ready, you know, because the other ones are a bit easier.
Yeah.
And was surprised for a normal one being harder, and I was like, oh. Yeah, so that's City 3. City 4, I'm not sure how to say this.
Ekrotique?
Yeah, I don't know. Seems right.
Looks right.
Ekrotique City. A thing here that's kind of notable is they've got a dance theater where you beat maybe like five different people who have different Eevee evolutions.
Mm-hmm.
And so each one just has that one Eevee evolution. And once you beat all of them, they reward you by giving you the Surfeit gem.
Super important.
Yeah, super important. And kind of a fun way to have you get that ability. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, and they give you a lot of experience too. So this was like a good grinding spot if you're trying to get a few levels.
Yeah, it was. And also introduces two new Eevee evolutions. So before it was just electric, fire, and water. And then they added Dark and Ghost?
Psychic.
Okay, that's what it was. So, expanding.
Yep. Oh, yeah. The dark one's my favorite Pokemon, actually.
Nice.
Yep.
Also in this, they've got two towers in it. One's called the Burn Tower, because it is burnt down, as you might expect.
That checks out.
And the other one is the Tin Tower, and that one's normal and fine.
Yeah.
This gym here is led by Morty.
Morty.
And they're ghost type.
He's kind of hard too.
Yeah, this one was hard for me. I didn't feel like the Pokemon I had at this point in the game matched up well there. So I had to... I think I save scummed a lot. Like, I'd battle one of his people. I'd save it. I'd go, you know... Go to the Poke Center. You know,
that's a legit strategy. Yep.
Yeah, and do that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, that one was tougher. Because my Pokemon in the beginning were like... I think I had like a Butterfree and a Rattata.
Oh, you're screwed, dude.
I like just had like a bunch of nerds. And then
Butterfree could be good.
Yeah, Butterfree can be good. There's just a point where Butterfree is like not enough.
Yeah.
Like, Butterfree has Confusion, so that helps you out for a while. But like... Uh-huh. There's a point where you're like, man, you're on the squad, but I wish you weren't. Like,
yeah.
I wish you were my Pokemon 6 instead of my 3rd.
Or 7. Like, yeah. You're the top spot in the box, but that's what you got.
Because for a while in the beginning of the game, it was just Toadile wrecking everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of the crew kind of came along and, like, could do a little bit. But my beginning squad wasn't great.
Yeah, I always leveling all my Pokemon at the same time. So I grind pretty, not like super hard throughout the whole game, but I'll make sure I'm like certain levels generally for each gym. I kind of forget the levels in this game, so I should...
Yeah, I don't remember the levels specifically right now either.
I remember the last gym leader, but that's it.
Yeah.
Because it's lower than the first game. About, like 10 levels.
Okay. Yeah, my strategy was the opposite. I just let Toadile be way over-leveled.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone else was like... So as the game went on, it was like Toadile was probably always like 10 above anyone else.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And so I'd get to gym leaders and I'm like, I'm all right. Toadile's better than all of you, and then you can just run through them.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like having the squad, dude.
I'd rather have the squad, but...
Yeah, like having a type that can beat every other type.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah, I feel like that's preferred.
Yeah.
But tougher to do here because not everyone gets XP, which I'm
used to.
Yeah, which you're used to. And I remembered from Red and Blue, But then otherwise, I've just been playing all the new games where...
There's the item, the EXP share you can get in this game.
Oh.
It's like a... you have to unlock it somehow. Okay. By doing something. Huh. I forget.
I didn't do that, obviously. But that's good to know.
Yeah. It's not as good as the later games, because like in later games, everyone just gets a ton.
Mm-hmm.
In this game, if you have it the item on, it like gives the person who's battling less, and everyone else just part of it. So okay. It's still not as good, but...
That makes sense.
It's better than something else.
Yeah. When I had to just kind of do the thing where someone's the first hit, and
yeah,
then pull them out and
yep.
put Totodile in, and Totodile just wrecks everyone. That was my main strategy.
That is a classic strategy.
That was what I did.
Just swap them in and out.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay, so next, two cities. I'm going to combine them because you kind of need to in this section of the game.
Yeah, that's fair.
But you've got Olivine City and Cyanwood. And so first you have Jasmine, who is the Olivine City gym leader. But she doesn't want to battle you
mm-hmm.
because one of the Pokemon she's with is injured.
The lighthouse Pokemon.
Yeah, and so she sends you off to Cyanwood to go get medicine that's over there. And so this is kind of your chance to use Surf in a real way. Lets you battle a bunch of Pokemon. There's also an island nearby called the Whirl Islands. And you can't get into it because they all have the whirlpools near them.
Yeah, you need whirlpool.
And you don't have that HM yet, but you can battle some swimmers along the way.
Yeah, this is a good spot. I remember when I played, this was like a really good spot for like grinding.
Mm-hmm.
One of the better spots, actually.
Yeah, there's a lot of people to fight. And
Pokemon are pretty high level, too.
Yeah, the Pokemon in the water that you can battle.
They give you lots of experience.
Yeah, nice. Especially if you've got one like... You can't grind your fire type, but like basically mm-hmm. anyone else, you can potentially get some easy points that way.
Oh, yeah.
Just fighting Pokemon along the way.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. If you have like electric or grass or something.
Yeah, I think my Magnemite leveled up a lot here.
Oh, yeah, probably.
So then once you get to Cyanwood City, they've got a gym led by Chuck, who has a fighting type. You beat him, and then you get the medicine at Cyanwood, and someone there also gives you fly. So now you don't have to use the water to go back. You can just fly back.
I just remember when you beat the gym leader, Chuck, his wife gives you fly, and she's like, thanks for beating my husband. He was getting kind of fat. That's what she says in it. Like, all right,
that's great.
Like, yeah, that's kind of fucked up.
That's really funny.
Yeah, it's goofy.
That's great.
Yeah, what a great marriage.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's wild. Then you go back to Olivine City and you battle Jasmine, who has steel type Pokemon.
Yeah.
Also was tough.
Yeah.
Because
for sure. Well, unless you have the fire starter.
Okay.
Just melt them.
Something I read about this game afterwards or while I was playing it was that Pokemon basically like fucked up where they over leveled steel and made them like really hard.
Oh, really?
In this game, like, they made them way stronger.
Oh.
And, like...
Didn't know that.
It was out of whack a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Or, well, people say they fucked up. Pokemon probably wouldn't say that. They'd be like, no, that's how good steel is. But
yeah.
I think when they introduced their new types...
They always buff them
like,
a little bit.
That it was like, well, this one's the best.
Yeah.
And so it was like, well, the types aren't supposed to have a best. It's supposed to be that...
It's supposed to balance, yeah.
It's supposed to balance, but I think because they were new, it was just steel. Just
hyped them up, yeah.
Yeah. So that I remember that one being a little tougher too.
Mm-hmm.
But so that wraps those gyms up. Next on, you go to Mahogany Town. You go through Mount Mordor to get there. So there's I think this is the Ice Mountain where you like have to slide across the ice to get there. I think that's this one.
Is it?
Oh no, never mind. That's later.
Yeah, Mount Mordor's like the last. Well. Yeah, it's like the last thing, I think.
I thought it was the mountain next to it. Are there two mountains?
Oh, crap.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah. You go through a mountain. If it's not Mount Mordor.
It's an ice mountain.
Thing. Okay.
Or, wait, no, sorry. I don't remember. Yeah.
Yeah, you go through something.
Mm-hmm.
You get to another town, the team take. at Mahogany Town that Team Rocket has also taken over. And you get asked by someone to go to the Lake of Rage to go investigate. Team Rocket's over there basically like turning all the Magikarps into Gyaradoses to fight.
Yeah. It's for profit, for some reason, somehow.
Yeah, something there. And so while you're there, you meet Lance, who's Lance the Champion, who's
who's
the dude,
the guy,
and also a dragon master.
Yep.
And he says, "Hey, you and me, let's go fight Team Rocket." And you're like, "All right."
You're like, "Hi, buddy. Yeah, sure.
Let's do it." So you go battle Team Rocket, kicks them out of the area. This also leads to the gym being open because, like the one earlier, it was also closed down because Team Rocket had taken over.
For some reason, the gym leader's like, "Eh, I don't care."
Yeah, right.
And all the trainers. There's a lot of trainers in this gym. There's like 8.
Yeah.
Like, y'all could have just kicked them out.
Right. You could have done something. Yeah. Instead, you had to have us and Lance do it.
Mm-hmm.
And Lance is like, "All right, cool. Good battling with you. Probably see you again. See you, dude."
Mm-hmm.
You're like, "All right." So then you have your gym battle here by Price, who has ice-type Pokemon. I feel like they were easy, because with water, I think they were fine for me.
Yeah, he's... Yeah, again, if you have fire, it's super easy. Very, very easy.
Yeah, game over.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like... I think this game, there's a lot of easy gyms if you have the fire Pokemon. Like the bug Pokemon
gym,
Steel, this one.
Mm-hmm.
So... It's like 3 of the 8.
Yeah. Yeah. It sets you up well.
Yeah.
You have fire.
Mm-hmm.
From here, you continue your fighting with Team Rocket by going back to Goldenrod City. And you fight Team Rocket there in the radio tower. Because what was happening with Lake of Rage is they were using a radio broadcast somehow to evolve them. And so you took care of like stuff at Lake of Rage, but then you got to go finish the job taking the radio station back.
Yeah, because I think...
Here you get to grind a lot because there's so many people to
fight. It's like the... in Red and Blue, it's like the Sylph Company where you like fight like 30 Team Rocket guys. It's like same idea.
Yeah, you fight a ton of people.
Yeah, because I think their goal is to like take over the radio stations. Like they can broadcast to like Giovanni, the boss from Red and Blue, to be like, "Hey, come back. We're like good again," or something.
Right, because he's basically gone into hiding.
Yeah, he's just
gone after Red and Blue. And so Team Rocket is basically like, "Hey, you should come back and lead us, and we want to like show you we're worth it."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so sort of thing.
They're very desperate sounding. He's probably like, "God, no."
Yeah. Like, "Come on, don't we look good?" I feel like that's his vibe, the Team Rocket vibe.
That's like a good summary of the Team Rocket's goals in this game. Is like,
yeah, take us back.
Yeah. We're sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll be better. Yeah. That's sort of the vibes. So, gotta get him back. From here, you head to Blackthorn City, and here you go through the ice path to get there. So this is where there's the ground that's ice that you, like, have to puzzle your way through to get to the spot, because you'll like slide across the whole area unless you like run into a rock.
Yeah, I don't think this is Mount Mortar.
Okay.
I think Mount Mortar is like the last... Well, we'll talk about it when we get there.
Okay.
I think it's later.
So this is also the last gym city. Here you get to meet the guy who can delete moves, which is great. So you can delete 8 gyms.
Yep.
All of that. This gym's led by Claire, who has dragon-type Pokemon.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Also tough.
She's pretty tough. I remember, especially her last Pokemon, Kingdra, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Rough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely rough. So this is where having the fire starter is not great.
Yeah, this one was challenging. Also in the area, there's lots of Pokemon that are like high level. So this was a spot where, I forget who I got, but I tried to get people for my squad here. Just to kind of upgrade the crew. So you've beat all of them. And so now you have the opportunity to go fight the Elite Four, as you do when you beat the 8. That's over at the Indigo Plateau. And you battle the Elite Four, who are Will, who has psychic type, Koga, who has poison, Bruno, who is fighting, Karen, who has dark.
Yeah, so Koga's the 5th gym leader from Red and Blue.
Yeah.
So you got a promotion.
Yeah, promoted to the Elite Four.
Yeah.
Which is cool. This part, I had to grind a whole lot before I got here because Nintendo Power told me what levels they were.
Yeah, are they like in the 50s? I don't remember.
Or 60s even. They were...
I don't think they're 60s. They might be.
I think they're 60s maybe. Or 50s. They're high.
Because the gym leader, Claire has like, I think her highest is like 44. It's like mid to low 40s.
Okay, so maybe they're like 50s.
Yeah, because I remember in Red and Blue, the Elite Four is like lowest level is like 55 or okay. something. Yeah, so it's the gap, and the gym leader is probably like 50. I think Giovanni's like 50 is the highest level. So it's like not a crazy jump.
This one felt like a crazy jump.
It probably was bigger, because the age gym leader, 40 something, is like, that's pretty low.
This jump was tough, mm-hmm. because I knew how high they were, so I probably, on my way there, I probably grinded for like 3 hours or something before, because mine was just toe dial in the gang. And so I was like, I really have to grind, and, mm-hmm. Spent a ton of money on like potions and revives and all that stuff, and then gave all my money to my mom. So if I lost, I wouldn't lose much money.
You nerd.
Yeah. I read online to do that.
Because
I was just like, they're way more than me, and I don't like grinding that much. Not as much as I would have probably needed to here.
That's fair.
But they were tough. I made it through, though. And then at the end, you get to face the Lance, the champion, with his dragon type.
Mm-hmm.
And he is tough as well.
Yep. He's got three Dragonites.
Yeah. Yeah, this was tough. A tough spot. But grinding paid off and beat them. What is cool is immediately afterwards, though, you and your Pokemon get inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
So this was really cool. He like takes you to a room past where he is. There's a Hall of Fame thing. It shows your name. It shows each of your starters as like, you're a Hall of Fame Pokemon. You were on a Hall of Fame team.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really cool. I liked that a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's happened in other games.
Yeah,
or not.
It's, I don't remember. Not in the first one, obviously. Well, maybe it is.
If it was in the first one, I don't remember it, but that doesn't mean it didn't happen, because last time I played that was, when we did it on the show.
Yeah, I
probably
like
in, like, 2019.
We'd probably remember. It's probably not in that. But yeah, it's in other games, too.
Okay.
So you can, like, see, you can go back and look, like, oh, who did I beat the Elite Four with? Look at your different teams.
Yeah. I thought that was cool, though. Mm-hmm. I like that, and that made me feel good for my Pokemon that were a little less good, who were, like, my 5-6, and I'm like, you were on a championship team. Good job, Rattata.
You still had a Rattata.
Well, I had a Raticate, but...
That's good. I was gonna say, you had a Rattata.
No. I did have someone stupid, though. Because I had, like, a HM one I was carrying.
Oh, yeah. HM Mule.
Yeah, I had an HM
Mule. Your
Mule,
yeah.
Who had, like, 3.
Oh, dude, yeah. I always forget every time I play. I always Google which Pokemon can get the most HMs, and I just...
I was doing that a lot. Because I had to keep trying to figure out how to, like, sort it. Because it was like, oh, you need Whirlpool for this, but you need this other thing. And I'm like, fuck, I don't want to have my good ones have to have these, necessarily.
Yeah,
I mean, like, having Toadile have Surf was fine for me.
Surf's a good move.
Surf's
like,
a good move.
Yeah.
And Toadile is a good Pokemon for me, so it was fine. Or, well... Mm-hmm.
Surf is a great move. It's like, Surf and Fly are pretty...
Those are good moves.
Pretty useful.
Yeah. But, I don't want anyone to have Flash, because it sucks.
Yeah, I don't think you need Flash. Oh, there's one dark cave.
There's a cave.
Called Dark Cave.
Yeah, but you did it, though.
Yep.
I guess here, you're a champion. You're in the Hall of Fame. So this heads you to your post-game content, which is you get to go to Kanto.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, nuts.
Okay. I gotta ask, how did you feel the first time you played? Like, you finished this game, and then this happens.
I remember I was at school, and I had a friend who, like, beat the Elite Four before me, and they're like, oh, you get to go to Kanto. I was like, you're, or they didn't say that, they said you get to go to the same place as Red and Blue. I was like, you're liar. And then I did, and it's like, oh my god, it was nuts. Yeah, I remember thinking like, oh, this is like two games in one game, this is wild.
Yeah,
and it basically was two games.
Yeah,
not as long as Red and Blue, like this section of the game, but
right.
it's a whole other thing. It was pretty wild.
Yeah
it's nuts. I was first, I didn't believe it, and then it's like, oh, wow. I need to play another 30 hours.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I'd known about it, because I'm, 20-some years too late.
Mm-hmm.
And so the legend, of it and how cool it was there. So I went in expecting it. But it was still really cool expecting it. But I was like, man, if I didn't know, I would have been floored.
It was wild.
I could just imagine being a kid or anyone then being like, holy shit, wait, because, you know, with the internet now, you end up finding out about stuff with games you whether you might want to or not. Or on accident, you're like, oh, I was looking up something about Golden Solver, and then I found out there's more, you know, but to be in the experience in the moment, and you're like, wait, what?
Yeah, I remember just, you surf over this, like, little body of water, then you're in Kanto.
Yep.
And then you can, like, look at your town map, and it's like, the other map, I remember doing that. I was like, what?
Yeah.
That show was nuts.
Yeah, really cool.
That was wild.
So to get over to Kanto, you take the SS Aqua. So kind of reminiscent of the first game where you use the USS Aqua. You're on a boat. You can battle a couple people and you head over. And so you get there and you get to go and do 8 more gyms. Holy shit. Not do I just get to visit. I can go battle the gyms. Some of them are people you know, and some of them are new, which is pretty fun. You first land in Vermilion City, and your gym is led by Lieutenant Surge, who has electric type, who you do know from the first game. And you beat his ass and move on.
That's right.
Next up, from here, you go to Saffron City. Here, there's a magnet train that will take you to Goldenrod City in Johto. So this is cool. If you need to bounce back to the primary region of the game, you can, and it's easy. The SS Aqua, I think, goes like once a week.
Yeah.
So that one you can't do as much, but Goldenrod, you don't have the ticket yet. But once you do have a ticket, you can go anytime you want, which is cool. This gym's led by Sabrina, who has psychic type. I don't think she was in the first game.
She was.
She was? Okay. Yeah. I didn't remember her then.
Yeah, she's honestly pretty forgettable.
Okay.
Yeah.
From here, you head to Lavender Town. You don't have a gym here, but the power plant is not working.
They got rid of the ghost tower, right?
Yeah.
Now it's a power plant?
Yeah, now it's a power plant. And
she's kind of fucked.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
Yeah.
Like, they just bulldozed a... where everyone's dead Pokemon lived. And then they're like, all right, let's make this first world.
Two more, but we need a power plant.
Yeah.
So you're there, though, because an essential part is stolen from the machinery by someone from Team Rocket. They don't know it's from Team Rocket, but you'll find out soon. And so you're like, okay, I can help you. And you go to find it. And you go to find that in Cerulean City. You battle the guy who stole it in the city's gym. Or no, he'd stolen it, and he tells you he hid it in the gym. So you have to go find it in the water. And then you go get the power plant working again. The gym, though, is vacant, and so you have to go find the leader, who's Misty, who is the water type. And then she comes to the gym, and you battle her. She's from the first game.
Isn't she, like, on a date or something?
Yeah, that's why she's gone, is she was, like... on a date, and so the gym, I think, was empty, and so the Team Rocket guy snatched it there, and then you beat him, and he's like, fine, I'll tell you where it is.
Yeah, so you cock-block her, and then...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's mad at you
for
that, and then you battle her and beat her, and she's mad.
Whoop her,
Yep. After this, you head to Celadon City. Gym here is led by Erica, who has grass type. Was she in the first game?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Also forgettable.
Okay. But,
yeah.
Cool. Yeah, some of them, I'll talk more about this later, but I, like, ran through these gyms. Because
they're all, like, a similar level.
They're all in the 40s.
Yeah, because they're not as good as the Elite Four, but they're, like...
Yeah.
Or maybe they're very comparable, I can't remember.
I think they're comparable to the last gym leader, the dragon one, in the previous game.
Yeah, I can't remember.
They weren't... I like, dusted them. They weren't very hard for me. Next up, I had to, like, choose not to use Toadile's evolved form because I could just, like, one-hit kill everyone. So I was like, all right, I need to raise the gang's performance. And so I'd use them instead. But they were easy, even with my, like, backup. Not backups, but, you know, not number ones. From here, you go to Fuchsia City, though. Gym there is led by Janine, poison type. This is Koga's daughter from the Elite Four, and she replaced him. So that was kind of fun,
just
seeing that of, like, oh, Koga's there, like we knew for the Elite Four. But the
family biz.
Yeah, family biz of running the poison gym.
Ninja gym.
Yeah, so that was cool. Then from here, you head to Pewter City. gym is led by Brock, who has the rock type, who you, of course, know as your first gym from Red and Blue. So cool to see him still kicking.
Yep.
Then after this, you head to Pallet Town. You can visit Red and Blue's houses. This was cool. You also learn, kind of talking to them, that Red was once a champion from before, but he's kind of left to just continue his training. He's almost like a kind of a weird, like, solitary trainer on his own doing Pokemon stuff.
Yeah, kind of weird. Yeah. kind of a weird guy.
Yeah, that he just, like, became the champ and fucked off.
Yeah, it's like, we were him in the first game, just like,
Yeah, and then Blue's not home. And then you also talk to Professor Oak, and he says, hey, once you beat all 8 gyms in Kanto, come see me. I got you. I got something for you. And you're like, all right, cool. From here, you head to Cinnabar Island. While you're there, you meet Blue.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, hey, you know, I'm just, like, doing my thing right now. Don't really feel like battling, but come find me at Viridian City Gym later on. We can battle. You're like, all right, cool. And then while you're on Cinnabar Island, you find out that the gym there actually had burned down.
The gym leader's a fire type.
Yeah.
Checks out.
Yeah. And that he had to move the gym to Seafoam Islands. So there's, like, a destroyed gym area, and then you've got to go find him, and he lives in a cave, or his gym is in a cave. And it's funny, normally, you know, it's, most gyms have the elaborate, like, there's a couple of trainers, blah, blah, blah. He's just a dude in a cave.
It's an old guy in a cave by himself.
Yeah.
All right, man.
Yeah, it's funny. It's like, I'm a gym leader. Like, yeah. Sure you are. Like,
you're going to try to kill me. He, like, just literally kill me.
Gives you a rock. He's like, this is my badge. He's like, you're not a gym leader.
Yeah, you're just senile.
Yeah. People shouldn't let you have Pokemon anymore.
Yeah. It's like the equivalent of driving in our society. Like, all right, you can't have these dangerous fire Pokemon anymore.
Right.
You're going to tell them to...
I'm going to take your badge.
Yeah. Like, all right.
You shouldn't do this anymore.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yep.
But led by gym leader Plane, who has fire, fine. Nothing crazy. From here, you head to Viridian City to Blue's gym. He actually doesn't have a type, so he's different than kind of all the other ones.
That's how he was in the first game. He just had
Pokemon.
He was just good.
Yeah. He was just good. And his team is tough.
They're higher level, right? Than
they're like,
I don't remember.
Elite Four high. I don't know if they're the exact same. They might be higher, or maybe they're either the same or higher. But he was tough.
Mm.
When I was playing this, I, like, blasted through the other gym leaders. Like, they weren't a problem at all. I got to him, and it was, like, down to the wire.
Oh, shit.
Like, I think I maybe had, like, a Pokemon left at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And if the moves would have went wrong somewhere, I would have been out.
Mm-hmm.
He was tough. And it was cool. I really like this as this is who Blue became. I thought that was really cool of, I don't know, just getting that story of, like, okay, Red and Blue, what happened after? Oh, mm-hmm. We actually found out. Blue, because, you know, in Red and Blue, right, Blue becomes champion. And he's champion for, like, 5 minutes, and he's been a dick the whole time.
Yeah.
And then you beat him, and then his, like, consolation, quote-unquote, is he ends up becoming a gym leader still. Like, it's, I don't know. I thought it was cool.
The best gym leader. Yeah.
Yeah, and the best one in his region. So I thought that was really cool. I like that a lot. And this is where it made me wish I would have not named them, obviously.
Yeah.
Ash and Gary, I wish I would have done Gold and Silver because of this experience.
Yeah. Yep.
I thought this was very cool.
Well, it's funny, like, playing this again, it's like, dude, go re-beat the Elite Four. You're like, you're better than them.
Yeah.
Go do it. So it's just kind of funny, like, all the, I mean, it has to be like this. They have to be really strong later on in the game. But it's just kind of funny. It's like, you could all probably hang with the Elite Four a little bit.
Oh.
You should probably try.
Blue could. I don't know about the rest of them. The rest of them I thought were worse than the Elite Four.
I don't remember.
But
Blue for sure. I remember, not having a type is really helpful.
Yeah. They were all high too.
Mm-hmm.
It was both. He was good. So from here, you go and you talk to Professor Oak, who, after beating all 8 gyms, gives you access to Mount Silver.
This is what I thought was Mount Mortar.
So this is blocked off at first because the Pokemon around here are very high level.
Mm-hmm.
And you're allowed to go to the summit to battle Red. So Red has off been doing some solitary training. You can go fight Red as your kind of like final post-game thing. Red's Pokemon are all 80 and above.
Are they?
Yeah, they're fucking crazy. So I went and battled Red once. He beat the shit out of me. And I was like, I think my highest Pokemon was 65 and everyone else was like 50.
I was like, no chance.
I'm not grinding for this.
Yeah.
I did knock out two of his Pokemon and then his Snorlax just killed me. Oh,
dude. Yeah. Yeah. That's
killed me. But I killed two of them or killed, knocked killed. Out.
Murdered two.
Murdered, yeah. Murdered two Pokemon. No, I knocked out two of them. But then I was like, all right, I'm fine calling the game here because like, I'm not grinding 30 levels for 5 Pokemon or 6 Pokemon. Like, no fucking thanks.
Yeah, that's why you're not a Pokemon master like me.
No, I know. That's why I'm the rival. Because yeah, you have to beat me to get beat.
I would grind that, and I have. Yeah. Yep.
No, yeah, I did not want to. I was like, all right, I feel like I've gotten plenty out of this game. It was a fantastic experience. I'm glad I got to Red. I'm glad I got to go get my ass beat. And I was like, cool, I'm fine leaving. Mm-hmm. I know what you can do, reading about it, is that after you beat Red, you can fight the Elite Four again and be a super champion or something. I don't know.
The Giga Champion.
Yeah, but I don't care about that. I feel very satisfied in what I did and didn't want to grind all that way. I think if the levels went up easier, then I would have done it. But having to grind each Pokemon that long, no thanks.
That's fair.
And when there's not people to battle anymore, then it's just like, battling Pokemon in the grass forever. Like, I don't want to spend all my time doing that.
That's fair.
There we go. That's Gold and Silver. So from here, head into some general thoughts on the game itself. First thing I have is going back to HMs was rough. I did not like that. Mm-hmm. In the new games, of course, the HMs just end up being like items you find essentially, or in Arceus, you'd find Pokemon who essentially were like,
they were the HM.
They were the HM. And so it'd be like, oh, I'm going to ride this Pokemon or fly on this Pokemon to do the thing I need to do. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't have to take up one of my six. And I don't have to have one of the six learn a move.
Mm-hmm.
And
that you can't delete except for that one spot.
Except at the end of the game.
Yep.
Oh my gosh, amazing change. I felt like I really, really appreciated that. I like the concept of it, of the unlock, right? That you unlock Surf or Fly or whatever along the way to be able to continue the game. I think that's really good.
And necessary,
right? Yeah. I think that's really good. And then opens up parts that you've been in before where, oh, I couldn't Surf when I was over here. I'm going to go back.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's great. Love it. But not having it have to be a move for the kind of six guys that you have.
Yeah.
Oh man, that was huge. That's something supreme in the new games that I like a lot. I think it can be easy for people to only like things from the old games and say the new games do dumb stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That is a good change.
Yeah, I totally agree. I like having like HMs, like you mentioned, like just like the unlockable paths throughout the game, but it is nice not to have to take up an actual one, either like a Pokemon move slot that you actually want to use, or box one of your Pokemon and use just like one of the mules to have cut, flash, strength, rock smash, whatever before you can do. Like, yeah, it's just kind of dumb. Like, I agree. I think the addition of new games of it being an item, another Pokemon that's like external to your party, it's a great change.
Totally. And with those too, I was like, I just found myself spending so much time looking up like, okay, what is the move set for this Pokemon? Mm-hmm. What will they learn as they evolve? What can they learn? Mm-hmm. Which HMs can they do? And trying to just balance it right. So like, you know, at one point I had a couple Pokemon that had Bite, but I needed to upgrade, you know, other moves on them.
Mm-hmm.
And Bite was like a pretty good move in this game.
Good dark move, yeah.
A good dark move, and like Toadile could have it, and then Gyarados, I think, also has it. And so at one point, for a while, I had two waters, even though you shouldn't, but I was like, they have different enough moves.
Sacrilegious.
It made sense.
Mm-hmm.
But I think because of the, because I think one, I could teach Whirlpool and one Surf without wasting all their moves or something.
Whirlpool's just useless.
You know,
except for like two times.
Yeah.
Three times.
Yeah, annoying. Like, not an ideal kind of way to set that up. And so, yeah, I really like that because then you can have your six really be I want a diverse team that could battle mm-hmm. against anyone. And like you said, I want to level them up more equally.
Mm-hmm.
In the new game, obviously, they just let you do it anyway. They'll level up equally. But it, like, makes you a well-rounded one. And mm-hmm. I like that. I thought that was better. So,
yeah.
Big fan of that change in the new
in
ones.
In these games where you have to have HMs, I would have, like, 6 Pokemon I was leveling later, mid to late game. I'd have 6 Pokemon. And when I needed an HM Pokemon, I would just swap one out real quick from my box.
Yeah.
And then I would just, after I'd get past that stage, I'd re-level whatever I missed on the one Pokemon I had in my box. There's ways around it, but it's just kind of,
yeah,
it's annoying.
Yeah. For sure. Not ideal.
Yeah. Yep. Let's see. I thought originally this was actually supposed to be the last Pokemon game in the series.
Really?
Yeah. So I forget.
They were just going to do 2 and be done?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, now they've done, what, a million?
Like, right.
Who knows? But yeah, so that's why it's so crazy and like kind of wraps up Red and Blue too, is because it was supposed to be the last Pokemon game. Yeah. And I don't know what chain, maybe because they were just like, oh, we can just do this forever, infinitely.
Just realized we could make money forever.
Yeah, there's never... Yeah. There's you can make Pokemon... you got a toaster? That's a toasty boy. Anything's a Pokemon.
I feel like the new ones, you do get that way, where it's like that one that's an ice cream cone or like
things
like that.
Yeah, or... I mean, Geodude's a rock, so...
It's funny.
But yeah, so this was supposed to be
the
last game, which it is one of the more... It's actually probably the biggest Pokemon game.
Which is wild. I would think it has to be just... And that, like, it wasn't DLC or, like...
Yeah.
This Crystal wasn't Kanto, you know, or whatever, you know, like...
Yeah.
It wasn't something like that. Whereas now, maybe they would do it more that way.
Yeah.
With how games get made. Instead, it was like, hey, here's this whole ass game. Also, if you want to go relive everything you already enjoyed in Red and Blue, we've got a lot of that.
Yep.
Yeah, it's wild. What a game.
Yep.
What a cool game.
Not really a thought, but just an interesting tidbit. I don't know when I learned that, but yeah. In some interview, the creator was like, yeah, that was actually going to be our last.
Yeah, that's cool.
Then we decided we were greedy and wanted to make more, which, hey, I'm not complaining. I'm glad they did. But.
No, yeah. I mean, I'm glad Pokemon continued after this.
Yeah.
But that's wild, though. Okay, another thought I have is some contradictory thoughts about difficulty in this game. So, at the beginning, I definitely missed the everyone gets XP for battles, like in the recent games.
Mm-hmm.
But, as the game went on, I did appreciate kind of the, I'm making choices, I'm thinking about this, that kind of thing. I got kind of back used to it. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, first when I'd only played Red and Blue, this was all I knew. Then I got used to it being a little easier with the new games. But I liked it for what it was.
Mm-hmm.
So there was that. On the other side, I don't think they managed the difficulty spike very well in this game. The Elite Four was, like, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really hard. And all the gym leaders, like, they had some challenges to them, but... They weren't the worst before then, except the dragon one. Elite Four was, like, super tough, had to grind a lot, save scum, all of those things to be able to get through it. And then on the other side, going to Kanto, I just dusted all the gym leaders until blue.
Mm-hmm.
I think that all of them were, like, 45s. Like, they weren't that high. And because I'd had to go through the Elite Four,
yeah,
my Pokemon were too leveled.
Yeah. It should have been equal to the Elite Four, probably.
Or the Elite Four shouldn't have been as high in the beginning.
Yeah, it's true.
And then made them higher. You know, like, something was wrong there. Because it was, like, up to the Elite Four, and then it went down.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was, like, a fucked up kind of spot. They were easy. And then, at the end, Red's, like, way too hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you shouldn't... I don't feel like you should get to the very end. And, like, I don't think I really skipped battles with people. I grinded some, but not that much. But to get to the final thing and then be like, oh, I'm 20 to 30 below level for every one of my Pokemon for this battle, that's crazy. Like, especially that there's not things to do, like, there's not new people to battle. Like, if it was like, hey, go over here, go to the battle arena and just battle for hours.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I guess I could get that. But instead it was just like, no, you need to walk in the grass and kill Rattatas, which, I mean, really, it was better Pokemon than that, but, like, yeah, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't Rattatas, yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, yeah. You're just going to fight Rapidashes for hours around Mount Silver. Mm-hmm. Like, then I didn't like that. I think they managed that wrong. Like,
that's fair.
I think that should have been different. And even the, like, maybe the gym leaders in Kanto should have just been, you know, plus or minus five to what you are when you get to them, even. Mm-hmm. And I know that's probably, like, advanced AI for back then.
Not really.
But, like, you know, something like that, even if they just made it go with you at that point.
That would not have been that crazy, yeah.
Like, I mean, you would think just something different than what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do wish that, I mean, it was cool that blue was the hardest and you could feel it. But it was kind of a bummer that, like, I could almost speedrun a lot of those gyms because they weren't, I was more than them.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, if I wanted, I could have just toe-dialed through everyone. Even the ones that were, like, grass. And I'm like, fuck you, I'm just way better than you.
Mm-hmm. I have one ice move, I got you.
Yeah, I'm just going to wreck you, all of you. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, kind of contradictory, both on hard and easy. Also, I was surprised to feel this way because, like, I normally just want easy games and don't want to deal with that. But I could respect the desire for things being challenging, but it wasn't leveled quite right.
Yeah, I personally, I like that Red was insane. Just because, I mean, I don't know. He's like the Pokemon GOAT, I'm pretty sure. Like, mm-hmm. Of all Pokemon trainers, he's historically like, oh, he's like the best trainer.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that after the first game, it's been years, he would be like nearly impossible to beat.
Yeah.
So I do actually kind of like that. I do understand what you're saying, but I appreciate that he's like way over leveled.
Yeah, and I think I could get down with that for him specifically. Mm-hmm. I think the Elite Four to the downgrade of the Kanto gyms,
yeah,
was too harsh.
That's fair.
Of one, I feel like this should have been a little closer.
Yeah, and you're probably right. I think older Pokemon games did have a issue with, scaling and shit like that. I think that's just a fact.
Yeah.
Which is fair. And it kind of goes with, I think this game is actually easier than Red and Blue.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you think about Elite Four, I think Gary's highest level Pokemon in the Elite Four is like 65.
Okay.
Or 67.
Okay.
65. Which is a lot higher than the Elite Four in this game. I think it's like, they're probably mid-50s, right?
I think you're right.
So it's like, there's a big difference there. So I think in Red and Blue, you do have to grind a fair amount more.
Yeah.
And there's also just less quality of life improvements. Like, there's no XP bar in Red and Blue. You have like 20 item limit.
Yeah.
And you don't have like the different pockets of the items.
And, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's just it's harder. I think it's just a harder game. So I appreciated some of the improvements in this game, but I do think it's a little bit easier.
Yeah.
Aside from the crazy drop or the crazy spike with Red.
No.
Nothing like that in Red and Blue.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I think that's fair. Because it's been a long time since I've played Red and Blue,
mm-hmm.
but this didn't feel hard most of the time when I was playing.
Yeah.
There are a few parts that were hard. But overall, didn't feel exceptionally hard.
Yeah, yeah.
I felt like I could, like, figure it out,
mm-hmm.
And all that.
Yeah.
Okay, next thing I have, this is just sort of a funny adjacent comment related to Pokemon, but something I have stumbled upon into more recently is there's a lot of new emo bands that are out, who are people who are younger than us,
uh-huh.
but grew up playing Pokemon. So they have a lot of like songs named after Pokemon,
nice.
Or lyrics about Pokemon in uh-huh. them. So I wanted to just shout a couple of those out because I thought it was fun. One of my like kind of favorite new emo bands is a band called Dogglide. They've got a song called War Turtle, so named after that. So that's fun.
Sweet.
There's another one, a band called Free Throw. They've got legitimately over 10 songs named after Pokemon related things. Like, they just are clearly, they love Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite one's a song called Pallet Town. They also have a song called Level 2 Pidgey and a Master Ball, which I think is great.
That's really funny.
Yeah, super funny. but I just like stumbled upon kind of this stuff. I've been listening to some of these bands and I'm like, oh, Pokemon reference here. And then I was like, huh, it seems like they're doing it a lot. And I found a playlist on Spotify that had probably like 30 or 40 songs. Wow. That either were Pokemon titled, like there was one called Escape Rope, you know, like nice. All these kind of things. That's funny. Victory Road, you know, uh-huh. all that sort of stuff. Or would have lyrics about Pokemon in them. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like, oh, you've beat the Pokemon game I let you borrow when I left to go on tour. I guess I got to come home. You know, like stuff like that. And you're like, oh my gosh, this is great. The Pokemon has like...
it's a thing. It's transcended age groups and cultures.
And yeah, all and all of that. And like, it makes sense that it has, but like, who would have thought that Pokemon would have been something that's like regular music references?
Mm-hmm.
Like, for things that aren't, you know, Pokemon music, it's just things outside of it.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, it almost wasn't. It almost stopped here, so.
Yeah, right.
It's crazy. Wild.
Yeah, wild stuff. But I thought that was kind of fun. I'll throw the playlist on the internet if anyone wants to see it. But nice. It was fun. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Super, super great.
Yeah.
Last thought I had is, so the game improves a ton of stuff from the first one. Mm. Like, there's a day and night cycle.
Yeah.
With different Pokemon in the day, night, mm-hmm. morning, evening, that kind of stuff, which was wild when it first came out. And then there's also like days of the week events. Like there's certain Pokemon that only appear, like really rare ones, on like Friday at this time or that time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's optional like caves you can explore and like different things. So this game just had a ton more stuff in it from Red and Blue. It was just, there's a lot to do compared to earlier games. And also kind of compared to later games too. I mean, there's more shit to explore in this, and I feel like most other Pokemon games that are out, and this was the second one that was made, or second generation, so it's pretty wild. I feel like sometimes they'll release new games, I'm like, you just didn't try that hard. This game, they super tried.
Yeah.
And I feel like they should go back to some of these things where you can explore multiple regions with like lots of alternate things to explore and different stuff.
Yeah.
Like, this is a great game.
Yeah. It's pretty wild that stuff was introduced so early.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, when I played it, asked me, like, what time it was, mm-hmm. because it follows the day and night cycle, and, you know, that, yeah, each area, on the Pokemon Guide 2 thing, it would show you, like, hey, in this area, these Pokemon are found here, and mm-hmm. it might say, like, in gold or silver, these are, if there were differences, but then it would also say, like, day or night,
mm-hmm.
and it would say, like, how frequently they're found.
Yep.
Which is, like, pretty wild mm-hmm. that that's a thing that they made, you know, 25 years ago or whatever.
Yeah, early.
And that, like, yeah, it's still a thing. And I know it's not Pokemon, but, like, I feel like how, like, Animal Crossing had all those things where it just changes, like, mm-hmm. the day of or the time or there's a special event. And, you know, like, this isn't all the way that, like, it is now where mm-hmm. it's more evolved, or how, like, Pokemon Go having all these events and things like mm-hmm. that. But it's, like, that's crazy that, like, the blueprints for that kind of concept was made all the way back then.
Yeah,
like,
1998 or nine or whatever it was.
Yeah, like that's wild mm-hmm. That they just kind of had this idea and were able to implement it in a pretty good way, especially for back then.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's like, oh, those like things kind of carried through.
Yeah, I remember playing when I was super lit, like 8 or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'd play at certain times and I'd be like, oh, there's a new Pokemon. It was just wild. It was so nuts. Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, great game.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I think we covered kind of all our thoughts on Pokemon Gold and Silver. So if you have any, please let us know. We'd love to talk more about this game. Totally great game. But yeah, hit us up on Twitter at StoryEverPod or on our email, thegreateststoryeverplayed@gmail.com. If you want to listen to us talk more Pokemon, earlier on we mentioned we've got 4 other episodes on this stuff, so go check it out. Mm-hmm. If you like the show, please tell your friends about it or rate and view us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or whatever. And thanks for hanging out, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah. See you.